Amazing. We're just going to spend a few minutes then at the start of this Christmas day. Happy Christmas again, by the way. Thinking about those wise men who were part of the very first Christmas and about what it would mean to truly have wisdom. I read this quite a lot this week on the internet. A wise man once said, nothing. Have you ever heard that? Is it a joke? Is it supposed to be kind of serious? Either way, it does reveal, doesn't it, a lot about what our society thinks about wisdom. We live in an age where we don't really believe that wisdom exists, at least not any deep, ancient wisdom that could be bigger than ourselves. When we do ask questions about wisdom at all, we don't expect to find profound answers that give meaning and context to our lives and significance. I think we just hope to find ways to make life more streamlined, quiet, easy, independent. We don't want to hear from mysterious old men that we find in our books and movies that seem to have no grip on reality. We just want nifty ideas, don't we, that help us handle time, money, people more easily with less drama. We believe that kind of wisdom, practical wisdom, will lead to the greatest happiness that there is out there for us. Which savings account will help me manage my money? Which journaling technique will bullet journaling make me more efficient? Which sleep app will minimize the time I spend counting sheep on my pillow? Will organizing my sock drawer reduce my blood pressure? Even on this supposedly magical and deep day of the year, we might just be thinking, how am I going to manage Christmas lunch so that everybody's happy and well-fed? Not a bad question, but sometimes we think the universe has no bigger meaning, human life has no greater purpose, and that those who think too hard about deep questions will either lose all touch with reality and just become distant and aloof and weird, or get totally depressed because they realize really that their lives don't even matter. So what do we make of the wise men, or the so-called wise men that we read about in Matthew's gospel, these magi who followed a star to the place where Jesus was born? We like dressing up as them in nativity plays. I don't know if there are any here this morning. I've seen some dress up. But their story doesn't seem to fit our modern, utilitarian idea of what wisdom really is, does it, if we think about it? These wise men, probably not kings, as we call them sometimes, but well-respected men of learning in their own kingdoms, and well-paid, it seems, for what they did. One day, their study of ancient texts and their belief that the universe, the stars and planets could speak to us about life on Earth led them to do something that sounds completely mad. They left behind successful careers and went on a trip that probably took years on the basis of the movement of one star. They travelled in quite large numbers, it seems, because they caused quite a disturbance in Jerusalem, and acted as if they were on a very important quest. And at the end of their journey, what did they do? They visited the baby of a poor Palestinian family, knelt in the dust in front of this baby, gave him weird and extravagant presents, and then went home again. In the meantime, choosing to aggravate the ruler of those parts of the world by refusing to pop in for a cup of tea with him on their way back. It sounds, doesn't it, like a lot of trouble and faff for a little reason, a little baby just lying there in his mother's arms. Could it have been worth it? Every time I read this account in Matthew's Gospel, I can't help but noticing that after all of their trekking, the Magi ended up overjoyed, that's the word, or in the King James, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. The answer seems to be yes, doesn't it? It was worth it, but why? These men had everything the world could offer, education, prestige, riches, but they seemed to find here something that overshadowed all of that. What did they find? Well, they were looking for a baby born a king. They must have known from the very ancient books of Moses that we have in here that a star rising over Judah one day would signal this long-promised ruler who is capable of governing all the nations with peace. And when they got to Jerusalem, Herod's teachers pointed out to them that reading that we had, that Henry read for us. There was a more recent prophecy, and it must have added to their excitement. But you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times, or, in the footnote, from the days of eternity. He will stand and shepherd his flock. They will live securely, and for then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be their peace. The baby they were looking for was an ancient ruler with eternal origins. In another account of the Christmas story in the Gospel of John, John explains that this baby was and is the eternal creator of the universe, the one who gives life to everything on earth, God the Son, who was choosing to come and make his home with human beings in a human body. And when the Magi finally laid eyes on him, they were totally overwhelmed at who he was. They gazed on him, they bowed down before him, and they worshipped him. And just like in our joke at the beginning, they didn't say anything. They had no insightful words to add to this moment. They just opened up their treasures before him and laid them out. Gifts that would have been strange, wouldn't they? We always joke about what wiser gifts they could have brought. They would have been strange for a baby under any other circumstances, but they were totally appropriate for this one. Gold for the one who'd chosen to leave the glories of heaven for a lowly manger. Incense for the priest who came to take on a human frame so that he could carry the burdens of the human race before God his Father. And myrrh for the good shepherd who would die with his arms outstretched for us and spend 3 days embalmed in myrrh in a tomb before rising again so that he could lead his human brothers and sisters through death itself. They were looking at the only baby who's ever chosen to be born into this life that we live. And they knew that he hadn't come for a quiet, easy, independent life. He travelled a long way to live a life of suffering for the sake of others. But as they looked at him, they knew that that was the beautiful and glorious height of wisdom. Those guys came from a time when, unlike our time, people did believe in deep wisdom. And they were professional wise men. But in this moment, they knew that they were just learning what wisdom really is. Because wisdom is a person, and they'd found him. They might have read of the person of wisdom in the book of Proverbs, who's described as an ancient ruler who calls out to humanity and says, "Happy are those who follow me," who says, "Choose me over silver and gold. Whoever finds me finds life." And this baby grew up to repeat those words, didn't he? When the Magi found him, they found an ancient king, fashioner of the universe, who wanted to put on sandals and be involved in their lives forever as their shepherd. When they found him, they found that the reason this human life in this universe has deep meaning and significance is because God himself had chosen to enter into human life and to have his own human body forever. They found someone not just able, theoretically, to give our lives deep meaning and purpose and value, but who cared enough to come personally and do whatever it took to guarantee that we could keep that purpose and meaning forever, because he shared his very own life and identity and purpose and value with us. He came to be what we are, we say at Christmas, to make us what he is. He came to lift us up. So because of Christmas, the deep questions of life don't have to be abstract and don't have to be depressing. There is wisdom out there, and it's tangible. It's deep, ancient wisdom that's bigger than us. But it's a person. Jesus is the logic of the universe, and he has come now to become not just wisdom abstractly, but our wisdom. A person we can know as our brother, shepherd, king, who can give our lives deep meaning and show us how to live lives that are more than just convenient, but lives of deep joy. The Magi back then didn't regret one step of their journey towards him. And more than that, they were overjoyed as they gave up all their human wisdom and independence to follow him and let him be their shepherd and guide from that day on. And today is our chance to do the same. We were celebrating today, aren't we? But we're already pausing right now to admit that this isn't an ordinary day. So let's not just let this day go on like every other day of our lives, keeping our heads down and just trying to get through it uneventfully. because an event happened today that is worth our attention. We don't have to say that the best we can manage today is the kind of happiness found in getting the right amount of food on our plate or setting up the best TV schedule so that the family don't argue. True wisdom is worth pursuing, and true wisdom has come to us today. It won't leave us depressed or out of touch, but full of life and full of joy. So this Christmas day, let's take time to seek the one that the Magi sought. Seek me and you will find me, he said. And let's take time to worship him and make him our king and our shepherd and our friend from this day on. Let's believe that there is wisdom and meaning and joy for us. And it's in Jesus. We won't regret it. Amen.